You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. In this segment of the show, presented by Generations Dental Care, it makes going to the dentist an enjoyable experience for your entire family. Find out what exceptional dentistry is all about by checking out GenerationsDental.com. I'm going to be joined on the program right now by Will Hazlip. He is the Vice President for Business Development for Global Transmissions. We're going to talk about an energy project which is being discussed for the Granite State, and it is the Granite State Power Link. And they recently held a listening session in Concord to discuss this project, and we're interested in learning more here on the New Hampshire Now program. So welcome, Will, to the program. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Chris.
Great. Appreciate joining us for the show. So obviously, the listeners have heard a lot about the Northern Pass project and the positives, the potential positives, the negatives, the significant impact that it's going to have here in Concord. And it seems that Granite State Power Link and this particular project is receiving, you know, much more support, but still has not really, you know, gotten the recognition, perhaps, since we've heard about Northern Pass for so many years. So tell us a little about the impacts on Concord and what this is looking to do.
Yeah, sure. Well, let me start out with the listening sessions you mentioned. So one of the unique things that we've done at National Grid is partner with a group called Citizens Energy, and that's what those listening sessions were all about. Citizens has a unique model whereby they'll take a minority interest in the project and use half of their profits to support programs to help low-income families in the Granite State. And in order to know what kind of programs would have the most benefit, they've been holding these listening sessions, so the one last Thursday in Concord and Littleton back in November. We're also doing that in Vermont, where the transmission line will run through Vermont and then into the converter station in northern New Hampshire. One of the really unique things about this project is that we started with the idea of protecting New Hampshire's natural beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So from northern New Hampshire to southern New Hampshire, most of the project, 92%, will be on existing transmission towers. So we don't have to cut new right-of-way for the vast majority through New Hampshire.
And one of the other aspects, and I've talked a lot about the Northern Pass Project and my concerns about the Northern Pass Project, is that New Hampshire is largely a conduit, and that has really not changed throughout the course of that. This project, from what I've read, seems to be different in regards to profit sharing and also energy benefits to New Hampshire. How significant are those benefits?
Yeah, certainly. So beyond the more than $590 million in local property taxes that will be generated for host communities as a result of the Granite State Power Link and the nearly 16 million tons of greenhouse gas reductions over the first 10 years of operation, we're proud to offer a variety of other benefits for New Hampshire. So I spoke a little bit about Citizens Energy,
mm-hmm.
but we're also proud to have partnered with Northern Community Investment Corporation and just a week before last signed an MOU with them for an economic benefits package that will provide the organization with $20 million over 40 years for revolving loans and community and economic development grants in New Hampshire. We've also partnered with the IBEW Locals 104 and 490. Of the 2,000 jobs created as a result of the project, we anticipate that the vast majority, over 1,500 of those, will be in New Hampshire.
It seems that I'd like you to go in background a little bit in terms of how many years or the planning process for, you know, for putting this together, because it seems as though, you know, this project has been pushed forth with, you know, a lot of the concerns that were created through the Northern Pass Project, really, you know, at heart, where this seems to be a New Hampshire-oriented type of project. You mentioned the existing power lines, 92% of the project being used by on existing power lines. The fact that there is a clear benefit to New Hampshire through the course of this process. How many, and conversely, the Northern Pass project was one where it was, you know, initially going to be crammed down New Hampshire's throat, and then there've been some adaptations after that. How long did it take to develop a plan? Because you mentioned the partners in various aspects of this. It seems like there was a lot of thought of, you know, making sure that this project was, you know, ready to go and had, you know, could be easily supported by entities.
Well, that's exactly right, Chris. In National Grid, you know, transmission is really what we do. We have a global transmission group that I'm a part of where we develop large transmission projects around the world. And, you know, through that experience, we've learned that you really have to start with a smart design, and that's the key to really having a successful process in the in permitting and receiving your permits. So we started with that in mind, looking at how do we design this project to, number one, minimize environmental impact and viewshed impact. The cost is also important, so we started with minimizing those impacts to the Granite State, but also realizing that that would lead to lower cost by utilizing existing rights-of-way, existing infrastructure to the maximum extent possible.
Now, does this power come from Hydro-Québec as well?
Well, that's one of the unique things about Granite State Power Link is we're actually partnered with two global wind energy development companies, REF and EDF, and they will develop 1,200 megawatts of new wind power in Quebec, and that'll lead to much more substantial greenhouse gas reduction benefits than just redirecting existing Hydro-Québec power from where it's being sent today to New England.
Is, in your view, obviously there's three projects that are being discussed. There's one on the eastern part of the state in Maine. There's the Northern Pass project, and there's this one. Is there a need for all three projects, or is there going to be just one project and the one that is, you know, is able to get approval the quickest, faces the least amount of litigation, is the one that is going to you know, be successful?
Right. Well, you know, it's a complicated situation. What we do know is that the opportunity before us today with the Massachusetts RFP will lead to, likely lead to the development of some new electricity transmission infrastructure in the region. There's just not enough available resource within New England on the existing transmission system to meet those needs. Longer term, it's just unclear. You know, this RFP will have a significant impact on the energy market dynamics and pricing within New England, so we'll have to wait and see what the outcome is for Massachusetts.
That is Will Hazelip joining us here on the program. He is the Vice President for Business Development for Global Transmission, discussing the Granite State Power Link and a proposed project that would bring power through the Granite State and Concord, wind power, and down to Massachusetts. So you mentioned that 92% of the power is going to be along existing lines. What about the additional 8%?
Yeah, that's we're sticking right next to the existing transmission lines, but in some cases, we're going to have to add a new line next to those that are existing. It amounts to about 5 or 6 miles in northern New Hampshire, but we've strategically located that again next to existing lines so as to minimize any environmental review impacts.
What allows for you to be able to use the existing power lines where, you know, the other project has to create its own transmission lines, and on a number of those are very large transmission lines, including ones that would be in Concord that would be greater than the size of the state house. Is the difference in terms of the amount of power? Is it just them wanting to have? They don't own existing transmission lines, and you have access to them. Why are you able to use the existing ones while Northern Pass is not?
Well, you know, I can't really speak for other right. projects, other companies, but I think we just looked at the situation and had a different view. You know, we've got some great engineers that really know the area, know the history of the development of the power system in New England, and they just came up with a great idea, what we think is really the best idea, best way to move substantial amount of power from Quebec into southern New England.
What is the anticipation in terms of what it will mean for the energy marketplace in terms of cost to have this additional energy being brought through New Hampshire?
Well, certainly bringing additional low marginal cost resources into the New England energy system will lower electricity prices. You know, there is a substantial upfront investment in that transmission infrastructure that's necessary to deliver that power. And what I can tell you is that Grand State Power Link, because we're using existing infrastructure, because of our smart design, is going to be the lowest cost way to do that. So any impacts will be much lower from Grand State compared to other projects.
Final thing, you know, I'm imagining the size and scope of the wind farm that is going to create, you know, this this energy that is going to clean energy that's going to come through New Hampshire and be able to be used by New Hampshire. What can you tell us about, you know, the size and the scope of the wind farm? How big it's going to be? How many towers and so forth? Because it's pretty interesting for, you know, folks to have that kind of background.
Yeah, it's a good question, Chris. I can't speak to the specifics of the size and number of towers, but certainly, you know, Quebec is home to more than 3,000 megawatts today of large-scale wind power. They've got great places to put it, good relationships with the local folks in those communities. And a good world-class wind resource. So it's really a win-win for Quebec and New England.
So in New Hampshire, you'll see wind towers very often on hills, or not mountaintops per se, but generally, you know, hills along the landscape. Quebec has, you know, drive through the White Mountains, and you get to Quebec, and there's some mountains, but generally it's flatland. It's like the Midwest, so to speak. You think of Nebraska or Kansas, and there's that open space. Is that ideal for wind power?
No, it really is. And one of the great things about Quebec from a wind resource perspective is there is a good amount of diversity in terms of when the wind blows. So these wind farms will be in several different locations, mm-hmm. So that'll serve to create a much more constant source of power than having all your wind resources in one spot.
Well, Will, appreciate joining us for the program. Look forward to hearing more about the Grand State Power Link and this energy project, and appreciate your time.
Chris, thanks so much.
Will Hazlip here on Hampshire Now, 159-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. He is the VP for Business Development for Global Transmission, discussing this new idea in regards to pushing power through the Granite State and also the benefits for New Hampshire with this project. I'm Chris Ryan. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services, and this segment of the show brought to you by Generations Dental Care.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.